Frank. How you doing?
Pretty good. Just been watching the news and up a little later than normal.
Yeah, I heard that you after that 3980 net there. I couldn't catch anybody.
Yeah, I was just up in the 80s. I just got preoccupied listening to all the news about the Baltimore riot.
And I missed all that. I heard some people on one of the frequencies here talking about it, and I run upstairs and watch the 10 o'clock news, but I missed part of it. They didn't cover it much on the regular channel.
Yeah, the cable channel's got it continuously, and they're still going at it, burning stuff, and you know, it's pretty widespread up there, so. I don't know. It's not good.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's just going to cause more problems down the road, that's for sure. Not very good at all. Well, did you have a rough day there today?
No, not terribly. Everything went pretty good. It was a nice day outside. Can't complain.
Well, good. I had a pretty good day. Did a lot of some stuff outside and running around a little bit. So that sounds great. Then we'll have to get together and do something one of these days before too long. Still looking at my antennas and trying to get my wire together and all that stuff. I'm going to concentrate on fixing my car here. Probably real soon, and I got to get that thing going in my truck too. And while I'm working on my antennas, also.
Yeah, I get you a couple of at least ropes up in the tree before it gets too bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting me a crossbow. A lot of people say that's real easy to shoot the. You know, I need something to go now, probably way up there. I need to get some height up there, you know, and that'd be a good way to do it. I should have bought one. I had some chances to buy one a few times, but I didn't.
Yeah, I guess that's got a little more distance. That's an interesting idea. Well, listen, I was getting ready to flip the radio off, and I heard you in there, but way past my bedtime, and I was just turning it off and going upstairs, so I'll catch you around tomorrow or something in 4OQJ.
Okay, well, before you go, let me ask you about that race. I watched the off and on old 41 there, Mr. Bush there. He finally got him one, didn't he?
Yeah, he's in the chase, and after missing those races, so I'm sure he's a happy man. And he had a good dominant car, you know. He just did real well, led a lot of laps, and you know, did a good job. So him and Harvick, you know, that team, they're doing well. And of course, some of the others in the team aren't doing so well, but I guess that's the way that goes sometimes.
Yeah, well, he's been running real good. I thought he should have won up, what was it, Bristol? One of the races he went in and changed some tires about 16 laps to go or something and come back out fifth or sixth and couldn't make his way back up there. Had a wreck. So he had a chance to win that race too. But anyway, I'm glad it finally came through for him. He's really, his team and he are really trying hard. Hard to win. I'm glad they're in the chase now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that that was a bad call to change tires, and nobody else did, and it got him way back there in the traffic, you know, and he had a dominant car then, but he couldn't get back to the front. So he was ready for it. So, yeah, he's doing well. Yeah, okay, I'll catch you in tomorrow, Larry, in 4OQJ.
Okay, we put 20 over plus, Frank. Sounding good tonight. You be careful there. We'll catch you there tomorrow sometime in 4OQ. N2IRJ in Floral Q. You're around there, Marty? N2IRJ in 4ROQ. N8WGM, Steve, you're around in 4ROQ.
Yes, I am here. I guess I'll answer in place of Steve. Marty, hi.
Hey, Marty, how you doing?
I'm sleepy. I'm tired. I was monitoring from the other room. Steve was in here a couple hours ago, just briefly, not really talking, but just, tuning up and that. And I don't know if he's still around or not, so be my guest. If you're out there, Steve, join on in.
Good to hear you there, Marty. Yeah, I still hear you there without your amp really good, so I hope you're hearing me okay.
Well, I am, but I'm a believer in amps, so I'm taking my own advice. I'm now giving you amplification, so the signal should be even better. Beep, 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 beep. I think that's an ionosonde. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah. I hear it on all the bands. It's all over the place.
Yep. It happens every 120 seconds exactly. It repeats itself. I wrote to the company who manufactures them in Canada, CADI, I think it's CADI, but they never responded. I phoned them a few times, too. They're mean. They put out a peak power of like 5,850 watts, but their duty cycle is so short, the overall average power only ends up being about 110 watts.
What are they used for?
They bounce radio waves upward off the ionosphere at varying frequencies. And by doing so, they can determine the maximum usable frequency for near-vertical incident skywaves. So it gives some idea of how the band is propagating in various places across the United States. On the 3950.net website, we have a link to one such map that shows the NZIS and how it changes over time. You know, within an hour of the Liberty Net, you might see it shift drastically. And I suspect that ionosondes are being used to construct that graph, although I never verified it. I do have two men's names from Colorado, National Bureau of Standards. They're involved in it, and I was going to contact them, find out, and then respond to the Liberty Net guys on it. Over.
All right. How? What? Are you receiving me okay tonight, Marty? I'm just talking like I usually do there. Do you get 20 over on me or below?
My noise floor is S4.5, and you are making it to about an 8 1/8. So that would be roughly 24 decibel signal to noise ratio, which is decent. I'm hearing you well. And just because I'm not up in your red zone, don't be upset. I'm listening to you on a beverage antenna, which has lower readings, but I could, just for the heck of it here, switch to a regular above ground antenna that's up in the air nearly 50 feet and give you a conventional reading. But again, signal to noise ratio, that's what's most important. When you come back, I'll tell you this time what you are on a conventional antenna, something like a dipole. Over.
That sounds good, Marty. Yeah, check me out on a conventional dipole there, too. Yeah, you've got some good antenna arrays there. I'm going to put me up something kind of beam it up your guy's way. Hopefully I can get it close. Where do you think you are exactly from me here, where I'm at in, around Knoxville? Are you due south? Due north? Or, I want to try to get it up there between, I know Vic is more to the right. He's more to the right than you are, from my direction. So he'd be like southwest, I guess, from south. Yeah, more south western direction, right?
I hesitated on the return so I could get my numbers. The noise floor is 6.5 with the so-called dipole, and that's 2.5 test units higher than before, but you're making it up to a few rare times 10 over S9s. I'll give you credit for that, so let me think here after I cough. Let me think. 14 and 10. Yeah, you know what? In this particular rare circumstance, your strength is identical. I'm getting you just as strong on either one. I'm getting you 24 decibels signal noise ratio on the dipole, and I'm getting you the same on the beverage, even though the numbers were different. For example, with the beverage, the noise floor was a little over S4, and I said I was getting you an S8. Well, each S unit is equal to 6 dB, so, 8 minus 4, that's 4. 4 times 6 is 24, so 24 decibel signal to noise ratio. Second time around, noise floor was 6.5, so if it were 7, let's say 7 to 9, that's 2 dB, that would be the same as 12 decibels. 12 plus the extra 10 would be 22, but I said it was actually 6.5. The noise floor was a little bit lower to your advantage, so that gives me the extra 2 dB. So that's how I came up back again with 22 plus 2 or 24. It's just by sheer chance that they worked out to be equal. Normally, in your direction, the beverage would be superior. And also, it takes time over the course of the evening. The band will roll and shift, and you have to evaluate it over time, over days, over months. But for the period in time we tested, that was the result. Also, I'll mention this. When I switched to the conventional dipole-like antenna, I was interfered with by Germany. There's a shortwave broadcasting station there that transmits HCJB material. It used to be in Quito, Ecuador. And with my beverage antenna, I completely eliminate that interference. I hear no radio station whatsoever. But with the non-directional antenna on, it's an omnidirectional, and the dipole, it's not up all that high. That's why it's mostly circular, the directionality, spherical. That's why the German station came in. And if you give me just a little bit of time, you can do the talking. I will give you an exact answer to your question about beam heading from your location to my location. And I'll leave you with a question. Were you able to hear the German station, or are you able to hear it slightly in between transmissions into IRJ?
Usually I can hear it. I've got my RF gain cut back just a little bit to cut out a lot of noise, but I'll turn it back up. But you're even with my RF gain cut back a little, so I can just cut out a lot of the noise. I can still get you between you're peaking 30 over, Marty. That antenna is doing good for you. So even NHTSA really runs it up there more than you do on the voice peaks, because she her voice is such that it drives it a little bit more. than yours right at this point. So, yes, try to give me some kind of a heading up that way, and I will try to work on some kind of an antenna to shoot up your guy's way. I think I've got enough wire to make me a pretty good rhombic-sized antenna to use, and I'm going to make my own ladder line and try it out. Just got to get something, get the lines up there high enough, and I can pull it up. There's no problem on that once I get to get some rope up there pretty high. So back to you, N4LQ.
N2RJ here, Jackson, New Jersey, United States. Glad you mentioned about Nissa's voice, because I observed the identical thing, and I was thinking, should I tweak things a little and drive my voice as hard as hers? But I've been letting her have superiority over me in terms of signal strength. I've even had the opportunity to hear myself back from distance, you know, like someone recorded me in the vicinity of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, about 300 miles west of here. And when I heard it back, I was able to hear that Nissa was louder, not just by sound, but I actually had it by way of another software-defined radio where I had the plug-in, and my screen actually showed identical to what that man's screen would have shown at that moment in time, that Saturday night when he recorded it live. So I got to see my gauge, my S-meter read exactly the same, and I could hear the same way. I could use any filters I wanted, you name it. So it was really neat to do. And I'm looking here at Tennessee, and the closest city, let's see, there's Knoxville. It's going to get so close it won't matter exactly, but what is the exact city you're in again?
Yeah, Knoxville's fine. I'm out. I'm more toward Sevier County, which would be Sevierville, but I'm right in between.
Okay, I'm already going way too fanatical, but, you know, that's my trademark, to make it precise. Let me get it really close for you here. I'm using a special map program and talking and dragging at the same time. I can give you a rough idea, and then I'll give you a better idea. I'll get it closer to Sevierville next time around and closer to my spot. But right now it's telling me that the short path would be, I'm looking here, sorry I'm groaning so much here. I normally use it to deal with that station in Europe, which comes out to be like 47 degrees, with zero being north and going clockwise from the northern position zero. For example, Vixhaus is around 45 degrees, and then if you overshoot and keep on going at 47 degrees, just a little bit more, that's where this German station is. You know, people don't realize often that straight east of us is not England and Germany and so forth. It's actually more like Africa, northern Africa. It is telling me that the distance separating us is roughly 574 miles. I haven't honed it yet perfectly, but it's in the vicinity of 600 miles we're separated, and the beam heading that you would need to use for me is 58 degrees. And then as we talk more, I'll refine it, and I don't think it's going to change by a degree even, but just for the fun of it, I'll do that. Looking at the propagation chart now for the time, which is currently 4 hours, 21 minutes, Coordinated Universal Time on Tuesday, April 28th, 2015, it's telling me that while we're in the thick of it. There's 100% propagation between us on 80 meters, even 60 meters, and there's 90% propagation for us on 40 meters. If we wanted to go clear up to 40, we'd still have 90% communications ability. We can even go to 30 meters where we have 60%, and then it drops off badly. Going to 20 meters at this hour for our path in the dark here would be zero. We would not be able to communicate on 20 meters. N2IRJ.
Okay, Maury. I don't have anything that can put me exactly online with you guys. I've got a compass. And my compass, I've got some trees that are exactly north. South and north. I've got trees that I'm just going to hit it south and north. You know, it'll be going unidirectional. I'll just make it unidirectional. I could put a resistor in there and just shoot it just north and not pick up very much south, but I think I'll just leave the south end open also, because it's going to have plenty of gain, so it should increase my signal some. I don't know exactly how much, but we'll see. But it should catch you pretty good. So Vic, is how much to your right is he like? I know he's in New Hampshire, so you're in Jackson, New Jersey. I'll kind of look that up on the map and kind of put me a scale across there and see how many miles across there that is. Maybe I can put it, you know, sort of between you guys there, or right where it should pick up both you guys.
Uh-huh, 58 degrees. While you were talking there, I moved it some more, and that's getting really close. I put the mark exactly between Knoxville and Sevierville. And that's how old I am. I'm 50 years old. So, not that you'll remember that. I think you're maybe 60. So it's pretty close to your age. It's that far. And I will work on the question you just asked in a moment for Vic. I'm just trying to get my location even a little bit closer. I'm homing in on my street. Just a moment. Boy, am I close. It's now saying 57. I said 58. Probably, if, wait one second here, let me go up here. Yeah, it's staying at 57. You know, maybe, if I changed your location, made it a little closer to Sevierville, then it would go back to 58, but it's between 57 and 58 degrees. When I blew it up, there were some other cities. There's Morristown, there's Seymour, there's Kodak, there's Route 40, there's Route 441, 168, 328. If you tell me any closer there or further down south, Alcoa, yeah, you let me know. I'll make it even more accurate.
Yeah, you've got it right on the dot. It's about 2 miles from Seymour. I'm real close to that, so somewhere around 2 miles to that little area there.
In that case, the final answer is this, and you could write it down. 57 degrees. That's your beam heading, 57 degrees from true north. You go clockwise. So that's more than a 45-degree angle that you need to point to get to my location. Now I'm going to do it for you to Vic. Just give me a little bit of time here, and I'll get you the answer.
57 degrees from true north, okay.
While I'm doing this, maybe I can talk at the same time. The reason I was monitoring, Vic said he might come on during the week. He's actually been saying that. And I said to him, last Midweek Liberty Net. We talked a long time, several hours afterwards, one-on-one, and I said, a year ago you said about sending out an email called FlashNet. It was a takeoff of what was happening by the blacks at the time. They were having what were called flash mobs, where they would cellular phone each other and descend upon stores and loot them. And so, as a spin-off joke, instead of it being a flash mob, we would have a flash net, like a Liberty Net, except a flash one. So what he'd do is send out an email, and in the subject line, he'd say flash net. And if you set your email client up properly, you can make an alarm go off. And I did that, and in my case, it's Star Trek phasers, phaser fire, 10 seconds duration of sustained phaser fire. And anyway, that goes off, and then I'm alerted. I could be asleep or anything, and since the computer's on 24 hours a day, it'll tell me, Vic wants to have a QSO. So I told him in all this time, it's been over a year, and he's never implemented one flash net yet. So maybe I rejuvenated some brain cells of him thinking of that, and he will do it one day. Okay, now I'm checking between your QTH and Vic's, right in Hudson, New Hampshire. You are 1,304 miles from Vic. So for me, what was it? It was an 800? I forgot now. 700, I forgot the number. But for you and Vic, it's 1,300. 1,300, and the exact bearing is 50 degrees. For me, it was 57. You needed to steer a little bit more clockwise towards Europe. So if you make it 50, you'll hit Vic. And I think that would probably be a good place to shoot for. Here's why. You'll still graze me, okay, and you'll still hit Maine. You know, there's N1RAJ up there, which, by the way, before you came on, W1RAJ, Virgil 4 was on from Georgia. I've told Ralph up there in Maine many times about this guy. I said, he's on this exact frequency you speak on. You ought to shake hands, so to speak, over there and get to know one another because your call signs are so close. But he was on tonight, so I was listening for that reason, because Vic said he might be on, and then there's a secondary reason, too, I'll tell you about, N2IRJ.
Okay, Marty. Yours was 574 miles and 1304 for Vic, 50 degrees for Ham, and 57 upon Clean. So I would kind of guide a little bit to your right. To my right, and go a little bit further to the right to get to 50 degrees to get to New Hampshire. So, okay. Yeah, I see. Yeah, that's what I need to do, just go a little bit more to the right. I believe that'll work out. I've got some trees that I can hook up to there with my antenna that should shoot it right up your guys' way.
Yes, and looking at this chart between you and Vic, in a certain way, it's even better than what it is between the two of us. Remember I said how good 80 meters is and 60, and we could still do 40. Well, with 40, instead of it only being 90% good, it would be 100% good with Vic. 30% is where it drops to 90. And guess what? Where you and I were left at in the cold for 20 meters, you and Vic are at 20%. You would have a 20% copy on Vic, even on 20 meters. He's far enough away.
Yes, well, I get a good signal on him. I mean, he comes in 30 or 40 over. He's got it pumped up, you know, good, and I receive him really well. I receive you really well, too. And I'd like to hear you get your vertical on, too, and switch back and forth. But I believe that my antenna right now is a little bit louder, and it's a little bit more of a signal, probably 10 to 20 dB at times. So that's just my guess, and without seeing them both at the same time.
I do need to obtain an A-B switch for comparison. I intend to do so, but it will be a while, and we'll do that test together. But even without the test, I did the math and the predictions, and it's all coming to pass what I predicted, and I'm from the computer modeling, and you're hearing me better. And on local stateside, that should be the case. And only on the faraway stuff, DX, vertical will probably be better. But since most LibertyNet QSOs are stateside, I figured the advantages outweigh the disadvantages. Well, I said there was a second reason why I was monitoring tonight. It's because I might have gotten a call from an amateur radio operator. I think he's in Texas. I'll give you his call sign. It is K5 something. Here it is. W5, I stand corrected. W5BKV. Oh, about a week ago on one of the nets. It might have been Liberty Net at the end. I forget which one it was. Vic was talking to NAEEGM, and Slowski on TV came on, and they ended up switching from lower sideband to upper sideband. And they were convinced that they were being deliberately jammed. And I didn't think so, but I checked out my facts first. So it wasn't easy because they were talking, and I needed to try to decode what was being sent. And there was a conflict in that, but nonetheless, I managed to be able to get a snippet long enough to find out who was transmitting. It was coming from W5BKV. So I wrote him an email. And I asked him about it, and I said I want to hook up with him and chat about the situation. And I'm thinking that it was probably innocent. First of all, he's not the first one to transmit on us there. He's the second one. The very first person I ever identified to transmit on a LibertyNet QSO was KO6KL out of California. And I never could find an email on him. And so I never was able to contact the guy. But I wanted to do it with him now. And since then, about a couple of days ago, I finally did get his email. Haven't tried it yet, but I'm contacting this W5BKV first. And plus, I sent him a copy of the slow scan image that he sent. It was a photograph of Betty Boop on a motorcycle, I think. But anyway, I'm saying to him that I think I know how this is happening. I think that maybe the slow scan TV, which is sanctioned on 80 meters to the 3845, has been hijacked by those mean-spirited territorial monsters from down there that own frequencies, and they won't let the people use them as they're supposed to. So anyway, I'm thinking maybe these poor slow scan TV guys got driven off, forcing them to find another home, just like we got driven off 3950 kilohertz years ago to now reside on 3995. So maybe that's how they ended up with a 3996 lower sideband for slow scan TV. In fact, that first guy I mentioned, the KO6KL, he, even on his QRZ.com page, speaks about transmitting slow scan TV on that frequency. So if he were out to be a surreptitious jammer, he would be broadcasting to the world where he does it. And it's definitely not deliberate. I do want to talk to both guys, but so far I've been unable to make contact. I gave the guy my frequency where I'd be, which is this 3995. I said I'd be monitoring tonight. I didn't hear back. I also gave him my phone number too. So when I hear back, I will report back to the Liberty Net what the other side of the story is. And I said, while we're at it, let's become friends. I said, you can answer some questions for me, like why do you get slant sometimes with slow scan TV, and why do some operators detest CWID at the end. So that's the whole story on it, N2IRJ.
Okay, Mark. Yeah, I was talking with Vic and Steve when that came on. What was it, a few weeks ago? That slow scan, and it was pretty loud. So we did finally go to. We were talking pretty good, but it was kind of aggravating. So we went up, you know. So I thought it was intentional, but we'll see what the guy says.
Well, here's what I think. I think that there's 50% possibility there's a little bit of intentional, but it wasn't malicious, if that makes sense. Here's what I'm thinking. You have a powerful signal, Vic has a powerful one, and Tundra's was powerful too. So I think that had the man in Texas listened, he really should have heard you on there. Maybe he discounted your signal strength and figured, oh, well, it's just for a short duration. It won't bother them that much, even though it did, and by rights, it should have been transmitted. Now, there's another possibility, too. During other LibertyNet episodes, like when KO6KL sent slow scan over LibertyNet people, those people talking had piss-poor signals. And as you know, I frequently remind people about the importance to have a signal when you participate in a net. It's expected. It's not like chasing rare DX where it's just you and the DX and nobody else matters. There's an expectation of readability, and you're actually doing a disservice to the other net people by not upholding your responsibility of having a good signal. And yes, it does require some effort. And, Vic, he, being a nice guy, resists telling people the truth, as I do, because it might hurt their feelings, or they might feel unwanted and figure out it's too hard, it's too much money, I'll just not come to the LibertyNet at all. And he'd rather have them come with the torture they bring, like antennas on the ground and without an amplifier. I mean, if it just happens, guess what? We'll work with you. But if you, year after year, consistently talk with an antenna on the ground with no amplification, then you're pushing the envelope. You really are. And that's what I'm talking about. So I was even going to play a recording from the Rooster Net, which is 5 kilohertz below ours. It's 3990 kilohertz. And on their preamble, their net control station up front says, "We want to hear you." You know, they couch it in words to make it sound prettier. But they said, basically, if you have an amplifier, run it. You know, they make no bones about it either, that you need to have a powerful signal on 75 meters. It's a tough land. You know, we have bad propagation, atmospheric conditions, which are very insulting, and ionospheric ones sometimes too, and then we have the crop of inhabitants here, like I said before, the territorial trolls that just jam and interfere, and you know that story. So you put it all together, and you really need power to get the job done. So I'll keep on preaching that. We put it on the chat room too, and on the webpage, to try to, you know, remind people it never used to be this bad. See, years ago, men were required to learn a lot more before they were allowed to have their ham radio licenses, and there was more code testing and so forth. These guys built their own amplifiers. They were far more powerful than today's toys, and they utilized them, and they held the frequency almost all day and night. I mean, I could come on here 20 years ago, and KE2LO from upstate New York would be holding the frequency with a 30 over, and some other person maybe in Minnesota would be holding it with the same signal, and then I would come in and do it. And, you know, we all put in our, you know, strong signal on a sustained basis and held the frequency beautifully. But over the years, people's priorities shifted, and they made comments like, well, I don't want to get in Dutch with my neighbors. My neighbors might get mad at me if they get TVI. So I say, fine, that is your priority. You have the right to not be heard. And I really appreciated what Vic said the other night to KB9KBC, when for about the 90th time he asks, how's my signal? This is Dave speaking. And Vic came back and said, your signal is like usual, and that is it requires ESP to hear it, extrasensory perception, because it's so damn weak, no radio could certainly receive it. N2IRJ.
Roger, roger. I understand that. We're kind of spread out, so you have to have a little bit of a good signal there, get back and forth. I'm working on several different things there, and I've got a amp that I can put on, a small amp, so when I get everything kind of arranged here, I'll try to work on that too. So I think that'll help me a lot getting up that way when it's noisy or when I need to, you know. RDS sounds great. You got a whole lot of knowledge there. You can figure out what's going on all the way around. I'll try to get my compass out and play with this a little bit, kind of look at the map again. And, you know, what I could do is get a big a map of the United States out and pinpoint my location here and sort of put my compass down and just move it around a little bit, and I can see exactly what I need to do from the United States viewpoint there. But I'm gonna try to increase it with my antenna first, and once I do that, then I can go with my with an amp also. So I'll be working on it.
Well, I will be very happy to get a stronger signal from you. Even though I'd be happy if everyone else could just have a signal as good as what you have now. I wouldn't have anything to complain about. Also, I don't want to cheat anybody else out of your good signal. If you put more towards me, it might be detracting from someone else who needs you. But everyone else seems to hear you so damn well anyway. Maybe it would be better, and maybe Ralph could hear you better up in Maine to boot. And also some of the other OneLand stations that have trouble. You know, there's one in Rhode Island, and he'll hear you better, too. And, of course, you add power to the equation, and that's 10 decibels even more. So, yeah, you'll really be potent. If your angle is too narrow, you are proposing a rhombic, you could end up, talking to Vic or talking to me, and if you veered off too far, you might not even be able to get to Pittsburgh and certainly not Ohio very well at all. So you don't want to get too narrow. But we could play. That's the fun. Antennas, they're beautiful entities to experiment with. And there is no perfect antenna for all circumstances. Flexibility is what you need. That's why I have a flex radio. It gives me the flexibility I need anywhere from the worst conditions to the best conditions where I can transmit with fidelity better than an FM radio station. So knowing what to use under the right circumstances, that takes skill, but then there's pride and a lot of satisfaction associated with it. And I like making these recordings so people can benefit later and hear, and you know, especially to people who just can't stay up the late hours like we do. It's even hard on me, I have to admit, but someone has to do it, as the phrase goes. You know, and then they can, you know, go to work and pop it in their player and listen to it when they drive to work or some other convenient time at the gym or wherever else they like to listen to LibertyNet. And I did want to say, about three transmissions ago, you ever so briefly peeked over an S9. So I'll say the noise floor is S4, even though it's a tad more than that, but we'll say it's S4. So 4 to 9, that's 5 S units, each S units of 6 dB, so that's 30 decibels. 30 decibels signal to noise ratio. Man, that's great. 30 dB means that your signal is 10 to the third power stronger than the noise floor. That means 1,000. That means you're 1,000 times stronger than the noise floor. So, baby, that makes me happy. On one of the very best nights, Vic might get to 40, and that would be 10,000 times better. That's a hell of a lot more. It takes a hell of a lot more energy to get that extra 9,000 on top of the first 1,000. Some of these bad stations I speak of with antennas on the ground or, you know, hanging at the apartment, you know, window or something, even locally here by Philadelphia, I'll maybe get half an S unit, which is 3 dB. So there you have it. Yeah, 3 dB is half is twice the power. So the number 2 versus what you're giving me, which is 1,000 times more instead of 2 times more what the noise floor is, you're 1,000 times more. And Vic, on a really good night, is 10,000 times more. So that'll give you some feel for what's going on. N2IRJ.
Okay, Mike, can you record me there? Play it back. I know those Flex radios have that feature. That'd be neat hearing me. I think you've done it before, but not sure if you've done it here lately with my processor on. I've got my processor on now, so it should be a little bit more stable. You know, my audio should be a little bit. This antenna's not been doing too bad. I've been real pleased with it. I've raised it up 3 times, trying to get it up as high as I can, and I do have a metal roof on this this house, and it wouldn't surprise me if the antenna's not using it as a kind of a ground plane, and it's bouncing some signal off of it a little bit there, because it's way up above the metal roof on one end, so, you know, it's probably 50, 60 feet up above the metal roof. Over.
Well, I'm tickled pink to be able to help you by playing yourself back, making the recording. And it's a pure recording. There will be no processing on my end, and it's your processing. Exactly what came here is perfectly preserved and sent back to you without anything added. So you'll be able to hear it, virgin, just like I did. The power of yours was about 80% of what it normally is. So I think you'll end up thinking that you sound good, but just be aware that at other times you're at least 20% stronger, and on some rare occasions you're even maybe an extra 30 or 40% above that. It's one of those nights where you're Vic sounding. So anyway, here goes. I'll play you back. I hope this is enjoyable to you.
That'd be neat hearing me. I think you've done it before, but not sure if you've done it here lately. With my processor on, I've got my processor on now, so it should be a little bit more stable. You know, my audio should be a little bit. This antenna's not been doing too bad. I've been real pleased with it. I've raised it up 3 times, trying to get it up as high as I can, and I do have a metal roof on this this house, and it wouldn't surprise me if the antenna's not using it as a kind of a ground plane, and it's bouncing some signal off of it a little bit there, because it's way up above the metal roof on one end, so, you know, it's probably 50, 60 feet up above the metal roof. Over.
N2IRJ, over.
Yeah, well, thank you, Marty. That gives me an idea how I'm sounding up that way. So it wasn't too bad for without an amplifier, so I appreciate it.
When you get the amplifier, we can try it with and without, but, well, heck, I wouldn't even bother with that. Put the amplifier on, and then you could do the speech processor, and then without speech processor, and it will really be evident. In fact, you could do that experiment tonight. It won't be as remarkable, maybe, but if you want, you could do that experiment. Over.
Okay. I turned the speech processor off now. I'm talking without the speech processor. The mic gain's about 12 o'clock on the radio, so thought I'd try to see, you know, how it's sounding without the speech processor there, Roger.
The best way is to do it both in one transmission, an A-B comparison, but I'll play back anyway what you gave me. Here goes.
I turned the speech processor off now. I'm talking without the speech processor. The mic gain's about 12 o'clock on the radio, so thought I'd try to see, you know, how it's sounding without the speech processor there, Roger. Yeah, I couldn't tell a whole lot of difference, Marty. It's pretty close to the same, isn't it?
Yes, it's pretty close to being the same. I have a keen ear, so I can pick up the difference, but it's not so bad as to make it sound oppressive or anything. For example, right now, I have just a teensy-weensy bit on. I can reduce it. I'll give you an example. Here goes. Right now, I don't have any speech processing on, and if I wanted to put it back on like right now, I could really go nuts if I wanted to and make it sound horrible. I could be like a mad contester, for example. Here I'm becoming a mad contester, so now I'll put it back to a more sane level, which is right about there. Actually, in terms of high fidelity, I shouldn't be using it at all, but if the band conditions start deteriorating a little, it's appropriate to add a little bit of it and compensate. In fact, sometimes the conditions are so bad that even Vic can barely make it to me, and I can barely make it to Vic. I'm talking like one S unit if we're lucky, and that's even pounding with processing and narrow bandwidth and high frequency response accentuation and all that. So, what did you hear the changes that I made over?
I sure did. I could tell quite a bit of difference. I put my processor back on. It makes a big difference in your loudness. I like it like it is. It's a lot louder. And it's very, very good audio the way you've got it. So I like the way you've got it. You're running it now. It did get louder before than when you turned it up, but it wasn't as clear. So I think you've got it right at the right spot there now. So it's doing a good job for you. So you're getting really good with that. I've never had any. I've listened to some guys, you know, with the radio like you've got. Don't know exactly which one, but with the Flex radios, and they're playing with them all the time, trying to move stuff around. I just need to stay with what I've got. I need something real simple and just turn it on and play, you know. I'd sent you an email today. I don't know if you've got to it there yet. Maybe a couple of them, just things that I've picked up here and there. Did you have a chance to look at it?
Well, let me see. I might have, looking right now. Today was a really busy day. Yes. It's why Obamacare is a fantastic success. I completely read it. Yes, it's been opened, and I went through it already, and I read about the engineer and the person who was getting $18,000 a year and how, you know, paying $3 more over the $1, they could get full coverage. Yep, I read the whole thing in its entirety. Usually, if I see it's your name, I make it a point 99% of the time to read it right away or soon thereafter. And by the way, since you put the processor on and I was paying attention better, I can now tell you the difference. And not only does it give you more average power, which a processor should, it's giving you a little bit more treble response, which is extra advantageous for tonight's conditions. So I'd say keep it on. Yes, I would say keep it on for tonight's conditions. It's possible one day with an amplifier your signal will be so strong that it will actually sound strong enough without the processor, and there will be the added clarity from being purely natural in sound without any clipping, you know. But I'm going to give you a demonstration of it back, because I think it, if you can remember it well enough, how you sounded before without it, and listen to the two characteristics I just mentioned, the sharpness, the higher pitchedness, and the higher average power. That's what you have now with the speech processor on. Here goes.
Loudness. I like it is. It's a lot louder, and it's very, very good audio the way you've got it, so... I like the way you've got it, you're running it now. It did get louder before when you turned it up, but it wasn't as clear, so I think you've got it right at the right spot there now. So it's doing a good job for you. So you're getting really good with that. I've never had any, I've listened to some guys, you know, with the radio like you've got. I don't know exactly which one, but with the Flex radios, and they're playing with them all the time, moving stuff around. I just need to stay with what I've got. I need something real simple and just turn it on and play, you know. I sent you an email today. I don't know if you've got to it there yet. Maybe a couple of them, just things that I picked up here and there. Did you have a chance to look at it?
N2IRJ, over to you, Larry.
All right, yeah, it sounds okay. I've got some better microphones I could put on here, but I'm running out of a basement area here, and I want to do some moving stuff around before I put an amp and all that stuff in here. I just don't have a whole lot of room where I've got it. But I'm more interested in the antennas right now, and I've got a few other things that I've got to get done also here pretty soon, in the next month or so. Let's see, Marty. Let's see if you've got a get up early in the morning. I'll be glad to let you go, but I really enjoy talking with you there and getting everything back and forth. Got a whole lot of knowledge. I've got a friend of mine that lives pretty close to me that's a nuclear engineer, and he's not worked in that profession for a while, but he's a good friend of mine. We went to high school together, and so he did work in the Oak Ridge area too, out there in one of the plants. So when we start talking about nuclear energy and atoms and nuclear bombs and all that, he can tell me a whole bunch of stuff about what Russia's got, what we got. He reads a lot. He knows pretty much what's going on. So he's a good asset to be around.
Well, maybe one day you could be the mutual friend by which we could be introduced to one another. I'd like that. And, I will be getting out of here briefly, but it's enjoyable being in here with you, and I was thinking of you during the other LibertyNet when I mentioned about Google Images and Google Earth deliberately pixelating out certain forbidden facilities. One of which, actually was number one on the list, was HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. I figured it might be Area 51, but it wasn't. It was HAARP. So the government's claiming that it's nothing but a benign weather experiment. But if that's the case, then why are they in cahoots with Google to blot it out? Or is that a lie? Maybe if I researched it better on the net, I'd find that those YouTubes and all are fake, and it's not really true. I don't know. I didn't carry that far. It's that far, the investigation. Over.
Yeah, they can send energy bursts with that areas. And the weather is just one of the things it can do. You know, if you've been listening a little bit, there's been a lot of flocks of birds, and we had one in Seymour, which is not very far from here, that went down about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And I should have went up there and tried to confiscate some of those birds. There was enough birds, they had to take a bulldozer, you know, with a blade, and push them off the road. They fell all in the road, a two-lane road, which is in Seymour area. And then they, from what I heard, they did send some to some places, to a place to have them checked out, but never heard anything back. Of course, you're never going to hear anything, but I've heard of that on Coast to Coast AM all over the, you know, the United States. That's been happening at different times. So what I'm thinking, that I think they're beaming that there's more than one HARP location, and I think they're playing with those energy bursts around different areas, and maybe trying to do trying to change the weather and maybe other things too. I know it does more than just the weather. So I'll try to read up a little bit more on it. I've been kind of listening Coast to Coast AM about it, broadcast, and I can't remember all the other things that it does, but it does do other things also.
Hey, you wouldn't expect the leader of a country to be this nutty to make a false allegation, but about three different third world country leaders claimed that the United States changed their weather and ended up creating natural disasters. I have to cough again. Oh, excuse me. So this bird death, what was the name of the city again, the place, and where was that located? And I think it was a few years ago, but did it correspond to them turning on a HARP? So you could tell me again the place and anything more. I think you said you didn't know more, like if they were burned up from like microwaves or something, or what, over?
Yeah, it's like antennas. They're this high-powered antennas, they can beam them in certain areas. I'm thinking that's around Canada area. You know, I used to remember exactly, but I can't remember now. I have to look it up on the internet. I'll find out more information about that. And I'm also studying. Today I got on there. I got thinking about Bill Clinton and his partner there, and they looking at all the different people that had passed away that may have had something to say about their administration or things that they had done and what had happened to them, and there's between 75 and plus people that that have been killed or had accidents or, you know, all kinds of different ways they got knocked off. So I'm kind of reading up on that a little bit. Maybe I'll bring some of that stuff out. You know, people don't even realize what's going on. You know, these people have got so much power, all they have to do is say they've got hitmen under them. And all they have to do is say that we, you know, take care of this person or take care of that, and it's all over with, you know. There's a lot of different ways they're doing it. So it's kind of interesting to read up on all that stuff.
It is. Years ago on Liberty Net, we used to discuss how many people ended up dead who were nearby Clinton, from bodyguards to attorney Vince Foster to others who knew too much about the Mena, Arkansas airport and operations there with drug smuggling. And they made up a name for it, being that he was from Arkansas. And there was a death involved, you know, a homicide. They called it an Arkanside. So they would say, oh, yeah, this week there were seven more Arkansides, you know, done by Clinton. And he even joked about it once on public TV, Clinton. He was saying, you know, people are out there saying that I'm killing people, and that's just an untrue allegation.
Well, Steve does a good Bill Clinton, doesn't he? I mean, he sounds just like him. He's a great imitator of him. William Colby, I noticed today. I've been reading about Ron Brown. I definitely think Ron Brown was being investigated. He was his Secretary of Commerce or something. And he had said that if I go down, everybody goes down. And it wasn't a week or two till that plane went down with a lot of passengers in there, and Ron Brown was one of them. And I'm not sure. It seemed like I read it that he had a gunshot wound to the back of his head. So that didn't happen in the plane crash. But also William Colby, he was a pretty high appointment. Don't remember all of his credentials, whether he was CIA or one of the top guys there. He died mysteriously after knowing some stuff. And a lot of prostitutes that he'd been out with were found dead also. And just a lot of people that looked like, you know, he was tied to pretty much. So he's definitely been at it, I think.
I remember that, and you're right, Steve does do an excellent Bill Clinton imitation.
Yeah, Obama's even got some people showing up, too, on his showed Obama, and, just from the things I brought up there. Think about Obama that's surprised, I've known this, he was... he's not straight. He's going to all the gay bars and all that stuff, and even as Steve said, that his wife Michelle is probably a transvestite. So and there was a lot of different things on there to prove it. The hand size, the way the fingers were growing. They've grown on the hands and fingers lengths, and all tells whether you're a man or a lady, and the muscular build of the body, and all that stuff. That definitely looks like they were right on that too.
I know. I honestly don't know. I mean, the world has become, well, I've come to the realization that the world has already been nutty enough so that anything is possible. I never used to think that. So from that regard, it's possible. On the other hand, you wouldn't think that such a secret could be so well hidden, but then what about the birth certificate and the seeming fact that he doesn't meet the presidency requirements, and yet nothing is done about it. I mean, in the early stages, the so-called birthers were left off until the White House offered the official birth certificate. They released it. And then when that was proven to be a forgery, then they said, oh, well, we were just joking. Well, it doesn't seem rational that under that circumstance where they finally said they'll come clean, shut up the debate once and for all, here it is, and then they'd send something out and joke about it later to be caught. Doesn't stack up into IRJ.
That's true. That's true. He's spending millions of dollars to keep everything under wraps, so... I've got one of the books that was written about him. I haven't read the thing. I've just kind of looked through it, and it's got a lot of different things in there about his life, and it's pretty amazing how he rose up through all the contacts with all the communists and all the guys that were blowing up, the terrorists and everybody else, and he rose right up. And even beat Hillary Clinton. I thought you know, in those primaries and all, that Hillary was way ahead of him. But he wound up winning. So I'm not sure if someone votes anymore. It's all computerized. Well, you're pushing, you might push the vote for the person you think you're voting for. But I think Spain, there's a company from Spain owns all the voting machines. You don't know if they're a guy, I think, programmed to come out the way you're pushing it or not, you know. It's pretty terrible. It's pretty amazing what's going on. You just don't ever know anymore.
Yeah, the layers of corruption are so additive and multiplicative that it's mind-staggering. Well, I'll leave a pause in case Vic is here. And if we are Vic-less, I guess maybe we'll become Marty-less and Larry-less, too. Vic, are you out there? W1WCRN2IRJ? As Vic might say, nothing but snap, crackle, and pop, courtesy of the ionosphere. So, when we speak to Vic next, we'll have to say we made the date. We showed up. How about it, Larry?
That's right. We were here. Oh, it was one thing, Marty. You might want to research this a little bit. There was a guy named Nichols, N-I-C-H. Well, I think it's O-L-O-S-R-E-S. I've got it written down on a form on my paper when I was on the computer today. And he came on a TV show and said that he was a hitman for the Clintons. And he said even he was a hitman for the government also. And he said it didn't make any difference to him. They just told him what to do, and he did it. And he came on a show and said this, so you might want to Google that. And this was some type of TV show, and that the main networks just didn't run it. But shows his picture and everything. He's a dark-headed guy, pretty good-sized fella. And this was in the 90s, I believe, when he came out with all this. And nothing's ever happened to him as far as I know. So you might want to just Google that a little bit and kind of read up on that a little bit. Said Bill and Hillary were very cruel and would do anything to keep their power. And there's a lot of other things like that. So it said that, anyway, you might want to just research that a little bit. You might want to go ahead and take off there in a minute. But it's pretty amazing. I'm going to research it a little more. I might bring it up in front of the net and get enough information.
I do remember the name Nichols. Maybe it was Larry, too. I'm not sure. You know, about a couple months ago, I sent you an inside email. Not that it was anything earth-shattering, but there was that station who was giving a hard time on frequency, and I identified him by his signal. I was just wondering what you thought about that email. Over.
Oh, yeah, I did look at that. Yeah, thank you for sending that to me. I did kind of glance through that. I appreciate that, and that was a good idea there. And I can't remember exactly what you said there. I'll have to read back through it. I'll read back through that, and I appreciate you sending me, letting me know, you know, what was said in that email about the other fella. But I can't remember exactly what it said, Marty. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. You could refer back to it. And I'm just letting you know that sometimes we collaborate as a cohesive unit to better serve the Liberty Nets. Sometimes we're on our own. For example, with this slow scan TV incursion, I'm the only one able to decode it and trace it. And I've been the one playing a hound dog and trying to find out what's going on with it. And I've been sharing that information as well. And when I get more, I'll share it with everybody over the net during net time. I suppose I'll sign off and say 73
and I'm glad we got to chat.
And I maybe we'll even monitor a little bit more often during the week, just in case you throw out a call. You might get the good old days back yet, where it used to be that way.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I appreciate it and enjoy the whole bunch, and we'll catch you another time. It's Wednesday night's the next net here on this frequency, so we'll catch you then if you're in there then, Marty, or hopefully we can catch you in there tomorrow night. I did get in here earlier. There is a group that comes in that talks a little bit there for a while, and then they sign out. Not sure what their location is, but they do come in and talk a little bit there. So I did hear them in tonight, and then I got in here after that. So good to talk to you. We'll catch you later. This is Larry in Florida here.
I know precisely who you're referring to. You tried getting the LibertyNet frequency a week or two ago, and those guys said, hey, wait a minute, for a long time, we've been every night using 3995 for our net, starting 9 o'clock Eastern local time. And you were a little bit perplexed, and so as I'm thinking, wait a minute, should I break in and ask, well, you said every day of the week, does that happen to include Saturdays and Sundays and Wednesdays? If so, why haven't we had a conflict yet? Because of our nets occurring then. And then they answered before I had a chance to break in. They said, oh, it's only short duration. We start at 9 and we're probably off by 9:30. I did hear them tonight, and one of the participants happened to be that W1RAJ. When I told you I was a call sign like N1RAJ, he's not all that strong here. The other guy is stronger. I forgot his call sign, though. But yeah, I heard that I'm on tonight. I was through their whole queue, so. And then there was dead silence for a while, and then you came on, too. So I don't know if you recall, on one of the Liberty Nets, I had mentioned that to you also. Over.
Yeah, I did, Marty. I think I remember that. All right. Yeah, that's correct. Okay, well, that sounds good. We'll work everything out, man. I'd like to get in a little bit later anyway and talk a few minutes before I go to bed. So, yeah, enjoyed it, and we'll get back in here and find some more things to talk about. So, you take care up there. Marty, appreciate all the work on the location and everything, and I'll be thinking about what I need to on the antennas, and hopefully I can get something else up that I can be proud of, so I can beat this antenna. It'd be great if I can do that. You take care, the N4ROQ.
On sign out here, I'm going to make a comment, look at your S meter, and tell me what the reading is. Let me know what the highest it's been, the average, and the lowest. In other words, you might tell me I went from a 10, and sometimes I peaked at 30, and maybe most of the time it was 20. But I also need to know something else, your noise floor. When I'm not talking, and I'll be quiet for a while so you can look and see what the average static level is. And then I'll finish by saying this. I'm looking at the lightning map, Blitzer Tongue, and the static we're getting is from two main locations, Eastern Texas and Southern Mississippi. There's a big storm there. And I'm picking up the static big time, so if I'm getting it, you really should be getting it. So clear with you, I'll listen out on those signal reports you can give me, what my low, medium, and high were, and what your noise floor is. N2IRJ, clear.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, go ahead.
Yeah, it's NAWGM Steve here up in Ohio. And the guy you're talking about is Larry Nichols. And he's the guy that I've talked to on the phone for hours and hours and hours. I've interviewed him on the Pastor Ernie Sanders show. And matter of fact, I've had lunch with him, and I know him personally. And he was on the Pete Santilli show, and that's where he made the announcement that he was a hitman for the Clintons. And he was actually a former CIA and also a U.S. military intelligence. And he worked for Bill Clinton in the Arkansas Developmental Corporation, ADC. And they were part of that Parkometer and Whitewater and all this other nonsense that went on over in Arkansas. And Larry's been in the hospital for, Larry Nichols has been in the hospital for, recently quite a bit. He's got some pretty serious breathing problems from smoking all the years. He knew Barry Seals, he knew the Clintons personally, he knows all the people that we've talked about, all the dead people on Clinton's list and all that stuff. As a matter of fact, Pastor Sanders went down to Arkansas and to investigate the situation down there during Clinton's term as president, and had his life threatened a few times down there. But anyway, I know Larry Nichols. I know the guy you're talking about. That's just to let you know. Over.
Oh, good. Yeah, I started the first time today that I've found out about him. Well, that's good. Good. Thank you for coming in there, Steve. I remember about the CIA connection there. I couldn't remember his first name, even though it's my first name, but I did write it down, but I don't have it in front of me. But everything you said there just brought it back to memory there. So that's good that you, how could he come out and say that? I remember the name of the show now. That's exactly right, that he said he was a hitman. How can he come out and say that and then not get any prosecution from that? I mean, that just don't make sense, does it?
No, it sure don't. Matter of fact, he's always said that he won't say anything on national television or radio or anything that would that he could not prove into the court of law. He was the one that actually gave some of the people information on Monica Lewinsky. He knew Monica Lewinsky. He knew, he was there when all that nonsense was going on. And he also did some, he knows all about Vince Foster and all this other stuff. And for some reason, he's got some information he doesn't want to release yet, and I don't know what it is, but he says it's going to derail Hillary. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but something's going to happen where if anything happened to him, he told Pastor Sanders, release the information that you have. And Pastor Sanders knows the information. There's quite a few people that know what's going on, but he knew all about what happened down over there with Barry Seals, down over there in MENA, with the drug running, and all the money laundering and all the stuff. He worked with Dick Morris, the guy that comes out. He's attacking Hillary now, too. So there's a lot of people that down in Arkansas that, pretty much know what's going on with Bill and Hillary, and they don't understand how Hillary can still be in the running. They just don't get it. They don't know why she's even allowed to be there. But she is. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that I knew him, that I know him. And he's been in pretty bad shape, like I said. As a matter of fact, my church has been sending him money so that he can get the medication and the doctor care that he needs to stay alive. So that was it. I heard you guys here. I just got up, and I was listening in to see if I could hear anything across the band, and I heard you and Marty in there, so I just wanted to pop in and say hello and let you know I know who you're talking about. That's Larry Nichols. So anyway, Larry, good hearing you and good hearing Marty in there. This is N8WGN.
Okay, thank you a whole bunch for coming in there and letting me know there and letting Marty know what's going on there. It's amazing the information that you have. I appreciate it, everything that you coming out with, everything that you know there. And it's something else. It's how know, all that could be happening and, you know, not being looked at by anybody, but other than that we know about anyway. So good talk to you, N4ROQ. And Marty, I'll come back with your information there, and if you want to say anything to Steve.
Roger, 73 Steve, heard you on earlier briefly, keying up just in case. We did the same, being that Vic said he might show up too, but he never showed. So go ahead, Larry, tell me about the signals.
Yeah, I've got between a 7 and a 9 on the noise level, mostly around 7 to 8, and you're going from a 10 to high peaks at 30 over on this. Now, this is a standing meter. I've got a Yaesu radio here that I use sometimes. I haven't used it in a little while, but say in 3 or 4 months. But it picks up a lot better than this radio that I'm talking on, this Kenwood 440S. It's a Yaesu 767. It's a lot better receiver on it. And I usually get a lot better media reading on it. But this one goes from a 10 to a 30 over in really loud audio. So peaks 30 over. So I think that antenna is really doing you a little bit better job. I think you've probably got, you know, I'm not seeing them one right after the other. I'm thinking you've got at least 10 to 20 dB at times over better with this antenna. Now, have you got any horizontal elements there on that antenna, or is it mostly vertical? I know you said it was a pyramid antenna. Is it mostly all vertical?
Negative. This one is more conventional. My original antenna put my energy far away. I would get reports from the Netherlands. More than once, PA Land contacted me. But since LibertyNet is mostly stateside, I finally was convinced I might as well be like most people and go more with something that is horizontal. And even though my trees aren't that high, I did that, but I still ended up modeling it in such a way as to have drop-off legs that are vertical. So I still have some ability, most likely, to get into six land and get the people out there who check into the LibertyNet. And, you know, it might not make it as well anymore to the Netherlands, but that's okay. But it should still do everything stateside, I'm hoping. Is there any noticeable difference, Steve, on your end, over?
Steve even knows that guy, Marty, so it's amazing, you know. There's a lot of information on the internet about him.
Right, I do remember that, and I apparently was right when I said Larry, his name was also. Well, how do you feel about that? Your name is famous in many realms. So is mine. Huh. So-called Martin Luther King.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty handy with some of the same things I guess Larry Nichols was handy with, but I never did get into that line of work.
Yeah, you have an honest profession. You told me what I needed to know. I understand what it's doing, the signal. So the answer to your question is this antenna now is a compromise. It's no longer purely vertical, as the original one has been all those decades. It's now a combination of both. But I didn't put all my eggs in one basket. If I wanted to, I could make it even more powerful stateside. But I sort of did a compromise where I spread out the power locally a little so that I could still hopefully do decently out in the far west. 73 Larry, and if you're listening out, Steve, same to you. And to IRJ, clear.
Take care, Marty and Steve, N4ROQ.